Blog Talk Radio.
Colbert, and I pray that your day has been a great one. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. And guys, it was a beautiful day here. Fall is about to kick in, even though yesterday I think it was low 80s or something like that. Thursday it was about 95 degrees. So that southern heat is still hanging on. And from what I've been told, it is just unseasonably warm everywhere, not just here. So I think that we're not the only ones looking forward to a little crisp air, a little breeze to kind of alleviate this heat, get rid of some of the hotness. We're ready for fall to kick in. Again, guys, thank you for joining me today. I had such a crazy week last week, so much going on, and then we had technical difficulties, so we were not able to bring the show to you, but I am just so happy to be with you today. Okay, so you know, for the last month, we've been talking about so much going on with the government, so much going on with issues with separation of people. We got this racism thing going on. We have this division in our society, not just here in the United States, that is like a plague. It has become this disease that cannot be controlled, it would seem. But I'm here to tell you guys today that we control that. it can be stopped. We can cut out the infected area that is causing so much problem to our country and to our world if we stand up together and fight against everything that is ailing us. So stick with me tonight. I'm going to talk about a few things. And if you're listening, and if you would love to call in to join in on the conversation, if you'd like to, I'd love to have you. Give me a call, 516-387-1637. I've had a really, really, really good response from the listeners, from people who have gone back and listened to the podcast after the live show was aired. And I've also had people to question the motives behind bringing up so much, so many things that are just uncomfortable. I don't know how else to say it. A lot of times people feel that, you know, it's best that we don't talk about the things that are causing problems because it only makes the problem worse. I beg to differ, and guys, you know, just with my background and in counseling and working with so many people, I found a long time ago that the worst thing you can do in any relationship is to be quiet and not speak of the things that are breaking the relationship down. The issues that are going on in our country right now are just relationship problems. Anytime we interact with one another, that's just another relationship, whether it's a good or a bad relationship. Our interactions speak to not just the situation, but who we are in each of those situations. What do we bring to the table? Not just if we are a victim or if we are the person who is leading the charge against others. Sometimes, all the time, you have to stop and look at your own self. You have to look at the man in your mirror. You have to look at the woman in your mirror. How are you adding or not adding to situations? So today, I really wanted to kind of take time and just go beyond the obvious. We've talked about the obvious just beyond belief. We've talked so much, and it is a conversation that will always go on with people, and definitely here in the United States, because we have a problem with so many bigotries here. We have a problem with prejudice and racism and sexism and just so many issues. But not talking about them does not solve the problem. It actually makes them worse. And I'm going to talk to you guys about that, but remember that where I'm going with this is that first we're going to start talking about today our relationships, our romantic relationships, our family relationships, the relationships that we have with our friends. And then I want you, as I'm talking about these things, I'm going to have two windows open here. One window is that, our family, our personal. And then the other window is going to give you a look into our government, give you a look into the dysfunction that happens in one place that can transform over to the other one and vice versa. So what's going on in this area that's affecting this area? And what's going on in our government that's affecting our homes that we might not even be aware of? So when you start really thinking, what is going on? Where does the problem begin? How do we fix it? You always need to get to the root. If you want to find out what's wrong with you, that's why when you go to the doctor and they start asking these questions and they start trying to figure out where it started, what's the first sign that you were having, what was that thing that made you or made you want to go to the doctor? And in counseling and trying to coach and life coaching and all those things that I work, and that's the first place I start. What was the first sign that something was going on? And it might not be what's going on with the cough, but what happened before then? Where were you? What did you do? Who were you around? What situations did you put yourself in that your immune system might have been not capable of protecting you? So what is going on around you? Where your mindset started? Who influenced you? Where did you get your information from about how you feel about other people, how you feel about relationships? Where did all of that come from? How did you figure out that you were worthy? What made you think that you're not? Who said something to you that changed your life forever? What have you said to other people that might have changed their lives? So I'm gonna go into all of those things. But one thing I really started thinking about last week, because this was supposed to be last week's show, and the thing that I started thinking about was, oh my gosh, with so much dysfunction in the world, it's amazing that we are able to have functioning relationships at all. It is amazing that through all of this, that we still manage to find a way to love. Because there are so many things, so many people, so many situations that try to change that. I have to ask myself, why though? Why would anyone not want us to connect? So I'm calling this show Relationship Killers. Because those things that damage your relationship, they change who you are. They change who you were meant to be, what your calling on life was supposed to be. But what happened on the way to you being happy that deterred you, knocked your vehicle off the road, and now you're over here damaged and hurt and angry and bitter, all those things that are going on. But what were you supposed to be before all of those things happened? Who were you supposed to be? What lives were you supposed to affect, improve, change before something happened to you? That's that person I'm trying to get to today. I'm looking for that person before the pain. I'm looking for that person that God made. Not the one that man tried to change. Because in the middle of all of this, we are all affected some kind of way by the people around us. It's impossible not to be. So who you are going to be, I want you to start looking at yourself in the mirror and find that person. Because that person is the person that has the love. That person is the person that understands that they deserve to be loved, that they deserve to be cared for, and that they have it within themselves to go and love others. That person won't keep getting pulled to the side and sidetracked by the news, by statistics that might be a little altered, because depending on who's asking the questions and how the questions are asked, that all determines the change in the answers. Because everything that we do comes from our own perspective. So whoever's bringing you information, that information is coming from them as well. It's their perspective on the world. So today we're going to talk about that a little bit. Who are you? What do you really want? And how can being within a dysfunctional system, a dysfunctional government, a dysfunctional family, a dysfunctional neighborhood, dysfunctional life, how can that change the person that you were supposed to be? And how do you get around it? How do you climb out of that madness and still be the person that you can look in the mirror and be proud of? How can you do that? So when I started thinking about the dysfunction in our government, because you know they always say start at the head. When you start at the head, you can kind of work your way down and figure out, you know, because where the head goes, the rest will follow. There's no choice. So if the head is infected, the head is sick, the head is not well, the head actually started off wrong, the rest of the body is fighting itself constantly, trying to do what it was called to do compared to what the head is telling it to do. So these relationship killers. So I had to think about this, guys. I really did. Again, if you're listening, you want to call in, you can. 516-387-1637. Why would they want, and I'm starting with the government because this is where it all begins. Why would the government want to divide and conquer us as people, all people, blacks, whites, young, old, rich, poor? Religious against one another, religious sects against one another, educated against uneducated, employers against employees, the young against old, old against the young, political groups against each other, the strong against the weak, men against women, women against men, married against single, singles against married, get where I'm going? Heterosexuals against bisexuals. It even gets so crazy, guys, that I am an African-American woman, and I have even seen it since I was born, blacks against blacks. So what is it that causes all of this division? Because it's not just people see each other different. Because we're all different. Some of us are shorter. Some of us are taller. Some of us are skinnier. Some of us are thicker. Some of us, you know, are lighter. Some of us are darker. Some hair is long. Some short. Some eyes are this color, that color. We are all different. Even identical twins may look exactly the same. Their DNA, everything changed. There's some, everybody have their own identity. So what is it about us as people that we feel that the need to be better than someone else? Because that's all it comes down to. Everybody thinks that they're a little bit better than that other person. I'm not like them. I'm a little bit different from them. They, them, all of that. So I'm thinking to myself, who could benefit most if the people are always divided? The people could benefit. I mean, maybe a small group could. But overall, and I came up with the government. I said, okay, because see, again, it's like a parent with your children. Your children might want to fight and not get along with each other. But when you want a peaceful household, you find ways to eliminate the issues that cause problems within your house. Or you don't. So, I'm a parent. I have two kids. Even when they were babies, because they both have their own personalities, I had to, first of all, you learn your children. So, you learn the people who are under you. If you're a business, you learn your employees. You learn what irritates, what agitates, what works, what makes people happy, what makes people unhappy. You're always supposed to work towards building that common place of we're as one. We're together as one. And I just remember when they were smaller and they were so close in age, they were 11 months apart, so they were almost twins anyway. Let me say that, they were. And they were so close, and one's a boy, one's a girl, and they came with their own little personalities. So in this world, we come with our own little personalities, and it's not always easy to make everybody happy. But what you do is you start to eliminate the things that separate you. So you might see kids fighting over one toy, so you don't put one toy in the room. You put several toys. You don't even put two toys in a room. You put several toys, several options, and guess what? They'll still, at some point, look at the same, but as a parent, it is up to you. And it's not always beneficial just to start screaming and saying, I said leave that alone. Put that down. Don't do that. Because children, just like us, after a while, they get that wall put up. You know, you become desensitized by the things that threaten you. And after a while, your threats don't work with a kid anymore. I'm going to put you in timeout. I'm going to pop your leg. Whatever it is you say to your kid. And after a while, it doesn't work anymore. But I've seen it, and I've seen it many times. I've seen parents let their kids just scrap it out. Just go in that room, and they can fight all day. And the parent stands on the outside and just says, I said stop it. And I have to ask myself, how is that building a closer relationship between the children? Because at the end of the day, they only need to be taught how to get along. Sometimes they don't know. They don't know how to find that happy medium. They don't understand that sometimes sharing is caring. You have to teach them that. So I look at my government and I say, who's not teaching? Who's not leading? And if you're not doing it, why not? Because it makes the world a better place for you. When there's that harmony in your home, everybody's happy. So why wouldn't you try to find harmony in your home? So I had to go back, and you guys know me. I'm always that research girl. And I had to go back, and I said, okay, so what's the point of divide and conquer? Like, what are the benefits of it? So I got a little bit, and I'm talk to you guys for a second about what I found. And again, if you're listening, please feel free to give me a call. Otherwise, I am going to keep it rolling. So the idiom divide and conquer is said to be originated from Latin, the Latin maxim, divide and impera. Meaning divide and rule. Julius Caesar used it in reference to defeating the Gauls during the Gallic War, while its first usage in the English language began back in 1600, through the centuries it's carried a commonly understood meaning, you know, divide and conquer. The retention of power by utilizing a deliberate strategy of causing those in subordinate positions to engage in conflicts with each other that weaken and keep them from any unified effort to remove the status quo power. This policy of maintaining control over subordinates or potential opponents by encouraging or causing dissent between them, thereby preventing them from uniting in opposition to pose any serious threat to the existing power structure. This is a very familiar story throughout history, guys. So divide and conquer is not new. So you have to ask yourself, why would you want to divide and conquer us? And they just told you. It's a way of controlling the people. All of that I just read, it's a way of controlling the people. It's a way of dividing the people into smaller segments so that they don't unite and become one big force that can overtake you. So what you do is you divide them up. You keep them at each other's throat. You make sure that they never want to work together. And the way you do that is by, again, making them think that they are better than the rest. And then you go to the other group and you tell them the same thing, and then you make them hate each other, and then you don't have to worry about them combining and joining forces and overthrowing you. So Machiavelli formulated the divide and conquer strategy in his Art of War. And you guys know of Art of War. Where the enemy can be forced to break up their forces, or where the mutual trust between the opponent's leaders and its men can be sabotaged and broken. Economically, in the corporate world, it's used to gain advantage by triggering smaller competitors to take business away from each other and the effect of canceling each other out, leaving larger corporations to move in and reap the greater benefits, to reap the profits. An indirect way would be to say, like, the big fish eat the little fish. And sociological application of the divide and conquer strategy involves causing discord and conflict amongst, sit with me guys, racial ethnic groups, exploiting class, religious, age, gender differences to divide and diminish power of various groups according to these sociological classifications. Yes. We're talking about since the beginning of time. There is absolutely nothing new under the sun. And I used to hear this all the time growing up. I really heard this a lot. There is absolutely nothing new under the sun. But for some reason, every generation believes that it just started with them. It didn't. All of these issues that we're discussing now have always been here. Somebody always stood up and fought for the rights of other people. And a group always believed that there was never a problem. That's not new. That's very old. But how do you fix the problem? How do you get people who think that there's not a problem to see that there is a problem, even if it's not them, even if they are not the problem? Well, put a pin right there. Even if they think that they're not the problem, because guess what? Denial is a problem. Sitting blind and not acknowledging something is a problem. It really is a problem. Acting like something don't exist does not mean it doesn't exist. It just means that you're not acknowledging it. And I posted this week. Knowledge is power. Problem is that, and this is the crazy part, the problem is that knowledge has a way of falling into hands that can use it for good or bad. So one of the problems is that in this world is us. We're the problem. People say, well, Kenya, what's the problem? Why are you guys so this and why is that? And God, because anytime there is an injustice against one of us, there is an injustice against all of us, even if we don't understand it. So even if I think that I'm better than other people or I feel sorry for situations, poor them, wow, I'm glad that's not me. I was raised a little bit different than that. No, because what affects one of us affects all of us inadvertently. It really does. Sooner or later, it's coming back to my front door. So what's the problem, Kenya? The problem is that we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to be uncomfortable in our relationships everywhere. Talking about uncomfortable situations is almost unbearable for many of us, but we'd rather deny it or ignore it. Think about your relationships for a second. How many times do we try to avoid problems until they're so out of control that we're forced to deal with them? Well, that's exactly what happens outside of our home. With our government, with our leaders, no one is dealing with the issue. And the issue gets bigger and bigger. Think about your relationship. You're having a problem with your mate. Your mate is doing something that offends you. Your mate is doing something that hurts you. And your mate says to you, I don't see what the problem is. Don't be so sensitive. Stop whining. I didn't mean it that way. does it change the fact that there is a problem? You say, oh, okay, well, that's good. Just because you didn't mean it that way, okay, that's fine. And then they say it again tomorrow, or they say it again another day. How many times would that have to happen to you before you begin to realize that there is a problem here? And just because you're not acknowledging that you, quote unquote, knew that it was hurting me, I told you it hurts me. How many times do I have to tell you before you start to respect me enough to want to change things? How many? That's where we are in our government now. That's where we are in our society, is that if I'm not hungry, maybe I don't understand why the person down the street can't seem to get food. What's the problem? Why can't you get food? I have food. I went to work. And until we start to really look deeper and understand, and I talked about this week on Facebook, and I really tried to post a lot of things to help us to see how the other side lives, to understand that everything, every privilege that we had or have, everyone does not have that privilege. Does that mean that they don't deserve to be happy? Does that mean that I can and turn my nose up at them and walk away? And if I see a man hungry on the street, should I just say, well, I got mine, go get yours? And I say this all the time. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? Yes. We should be, even if we're not, even if in your mind you think that you're not. I promise you, if you ever fall on hard times, if you ever get caught sitting in a car pulled over by the police, and I'll say this, and it's the God honest truth, I don't know many black people that can get pulled over by police, including myself, that don't go into major sweat and being really afraid of what can happen with this one being pulled over. I haven't done anything wrong. My car is legal. I'm legal. But when I get pulled over, fear grips me. I've seen what has happened to so many other people who weren't robbing anybody, wasn't trying to kill anybody. They were just pulled over. But if in my mind I feel that something happened to you because you deserved it, or, oh, well, sucks to be you, That's not good. That speaks to who I am, not what the situation is. Who am I in my heart? Who are you in your heart? So I had to really take a minute and take a look, guys, and just say, okay, all these things are going on. All these things are crazy. Then I look back in history. I was like, okay, let's take a look. Because history is filled with examples of successful implementation of divide and conquer. Again, guys, everything didn't just come up today. In the 17th century, there was an illustration of a sociological application called the Virginia Elite. And it was a rash of uprisings from ex-indentured servant white men unified with black slaves by enacting race laws that elevated the rabble status. So they joined forces, the indentured black men, indentured white men with black slaves, and they were the poor whites. So far above the slaves that it effectively eliminated the threat. So here we go. You got now, instead of having the black slaves and the white indentured slaves, what do you do if you don't want them to join forces? You take those indentured servants and you tell them that they are better than that other group. Who don't want to feel better? Who is not interested in being looked upon higher in society? Nobody says, oh, gosh, let me be the worst of the worst. Please categorize me in the worst area that you have. I don't know many people that would say that. That divide and conquer, it actually worked. Because now they're not uniting, so you've got those two divided. So you eliminated the threat of them joining forces in an armed rebellion against you. This divide and conquer strategy was frequently repeated by European colonial powers, typically pitting people against each other. Ethnic and religious groups, blacks and whites, rich and poor, constantly. You have to be able to create a place in people's minds where you give them some kind of authority to look down. Don't be pulled into that. This country alone has pitted us so much against each other that it's scary. It's scary that people can fall for it. It really is to me. It is scary that it's possible for people to fall for it. I posted something earlier and it said, pit race against race. Religion against religion. Prejudice against prejudice. What do? You divide and conquer. And Eleanor Roosevelt said, we must not let that happen here. I wish we'd lived up to her words. We didn't. But we can. We can live up to that. We must not let that happen here. And I had another post that I posted today for those who don't follow me on Facebook. And it says, never doubt that a small group of committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has, Margaret Mead. A small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. But before you can change the world, you actually have to visualize it as a better place. So if you're happy and comfortable in your place in the world, and that's as good as you want it, you might not want to change it. But for the rest of us, because even if I'm rich, even if I have all the money, even if I'm considered privileged, I cannot imagine living a life that I look down on other people. Because there is something to be said about my heart. How black is my heart if I can look at other people and not empathize? There are too many of us out here who work very, very hard to improve the world around us. And there are just as many out there who work every day to destroy it. The question is, does good prevail? Or does evil? Okay, so let me skip you to the end of the story. I'm a Christian, and in my Bible, it says that good will win. At the end of the day, I know how the story ends. Good will win. Good does win at the end of the story. And I'm telling you that the way to ensure that every page of your life leads towards a win is to wake up every morning and do something to improve the world around you. Your life, your children's life, your grandchildren's life, your great-great-grandchildren, your legacy is built on what you do today or what you do not do today. When we don't educate our children, we give them, put them at a disadvantage. When we allow negative energy to live inside of our household, we are setting them back. This is a world that filled with so much technology, so much advancement. There is no reason in God's green earth that we should still be having the same issues and the same problems that started so long ago. And that brings me to this part. So how is the dysfunction in our government leading to the dysfunction in our household? So many broken families, divorce rates are high. You have people who are okay with watching other people go hungry. We have the prisons are filled. We have the mental institutions are growing by the day. There is just so much discourse in our lives, in everybody, not just white people, not just black people. I mean people in general. Homes are breaking down. We have more single-parent homes now in this world than ever before, not just in this country, in this world. How can we change that? You have more children today being raised by their grandparents and not their parents. You have more children in institutions such as foster homes and upward adoption and all of these because the family model broke down so long ago. Drugs don't bring themselves into our community. So how are we changing the world around us to be better or worse? Is my question. And how is this helping the system to divide and conquer us? Because if you ever want to ever separate people, just find a way to make one side think that they're better than the other side. Is it true? Of course not. Of course not. Just because you're rich does not mean you're a better person. Nah. Just because you're poor don't mean that you're a good person. Nah. But if I can keep you guys at each other's throat, if I can make you not want to unite and find out why we have a president that does not know that the Virgin Islands is not, that he is the president of the Virgin Isles as well, that's a part of the United States. I can get you to not ask questions, but to fight each other in the streets. If I can get you to not ask questions, if I can get you to watch my news that tells you exactly what I want you to know and count on you not going back in history and researching and using social media and the internet highway to find out what really happened in this world. If I can get you to just be happy with what I'm telling you and what you see in front of you and never dig deep, never peel back the layers to find out why I want you to know that, I'll win. I can keep your households divided. I can keep you against each other, pitted against each other every day. I can have mothers against fathers. I can have children against their parents. I can have neighbors against neighbors. I can have employers against employees. I can have blacks against whites, whites against blacks, young against old. I can make you hate each other. But what is my benefit? Because as long as I'm distracting you, you'll never watch what I'm doing. You'll never even wonder what I'm doing because you'll be so distracted by the crazy. And in closing, guys, my last little bit, and I'm not going to take you too long today. And I want you to think about this. That in the middle of everything that we're going through in this world, especially in this country, and with us knowing that there is so much hate and the division that is put in front of us every day to keep us from wanting to find out the truth. Because let me say this. Everybody don't want to know the truth. And the truth does not set everybody free. Trust me when I tell you that. Because there are some people that if you found out the truth about some things, it changes where they sit in the world, in the hierarchy of the world. But if I can keep you at each other's throat, trust me, I'll keep winning. And I posted something the other night about privilege. And we were talking about privilege. Privilege, privilege, privilege. And you guys follow me on Facebook. If you're not one of my Facebook friends, follow me on Facebook. I'm Social Butterfly with an I-111. And I'm also Everything Relationships at Social Butterfly Connection. But how is it that we have found a way to use religion to control the world? And I'm a Christian. Because I have to ask myself, and I found this really great article, and it supported where I was going with this, and it asked, what divides a country most, religion, caste, or politics? Religion. And then the caste comes under religion. And politics divide the people on the basis of religion. Is this not crazy? See, people would not be able to discriminate basis of creed and caste and all those things if there was not religion. There wouldn't be half of the disputes that we have in the world. Like there would be no Hindu-Muslim dispute. Most of the superstitious things that which are linked to religion would not be there. Politicians would not be able to divide people on the basis of ethnicity. Our society with that minority majority is not just color. We're divided inside of being divided. You know how many religions there are? Fights, disputes, riots between groups, religious groups, wouldn't be there. Pakistan would have been a part of India if there had not been Hindu and no Muslims. So if there was no Hindu and no Muslim, we wouldn't have to worry about the Pakistan and the part of India. We wouldn't have to worry about that. So inside of this, and then reason why I'm saying this to you guys, because there is this loyalty that is supposedly related, and people were, and let me just say this, and my own people, especially, slaves were controlled by religion, by the book, by the Bible. People do a lot of things in the name of religion, in the name of loyalty or lack of loyalty, in the name of trying to honor things, items, flags, statues. So until we talk about the things that actually that are driving this country, we're sitting here in the back seat allowing nuts to drive us. No. Get out. Any vehicle that does not allow you to go and find out for yourself. Follow no one blindly, including myself. Follow no one blindly. Anything I'm talking about, go and research. Find for yourself. Stop following without trying to investigate. I was talking to my dad this morning, and he was like, I'm always trying to learn something. My dad is always working on something. My mom is always reading. They're always feeding their brains. And we get that from them. It's like that's how you grow. That's how you keep your mind fed. You have to give it something to eat. But if all we want to do is be entertained instead of enlightened, you'll find yourself just looking for more things to entertain you. And when it comes time to have really deep conversations about something more than some of these TV shows, you won't have anything to discuss. You won't be able to talk about the video shows and anything above that. You're not feeding your brain anymore. But winners do more than wait to be entertained. Leaders, winners, they go and they feed the mind, they feed the soul, and they take what they learn and they take it out into the world and they change those things that have not worked for anyone in the past. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at where you are. Oh, I have, my money is good in the bank. But for how long? In this government, in this time in our world, this time in the country, you have to ask yourself, how secure are you? And I'm one of those people that really didn't used to watch the news because it was so depressing. And I hear a lot of people say that now, like it's just so depressing. But I promise you, I'd rather be depressed and enlightened than entertained. And when it's time to use my brain, time to get up and do some things in this world to change the world, I don't know where to start. You have the power to be whatever you want to be. And if you're not ready to start with your government, start inside of your house. Because there's an old saying in the church that says that, you know what, you got to clean your home first. Clean your house. Get your house in order. Because once you get your house in order, then you can leave outside of your house and start working on the rest of it. But if your house is jacked up, messed up, everything is crazy, you don't know which way is up, the children at each other, you're and your mate after each other, or you're inside of your own house going crazy because things aren't working well in your life and you don't know which way to turn, you need to get yourself in line. You have to get yourself in order. I have to do it all the time. I'm constantly trying to rejuvenate myself so that I can do the things in this world that I was called to do. But I wasn't just called to go to work every day. And neither were you. Divided we fall. And until there are changes that we ourselves are ready to implement, we will always be controlled. Don't forget to ask yourself this week, who benefits when we fight, when we're against each other, when we think that we're better? Who's trying to divide and conquer us, and why? And if you feel that you're on the winning side right now, will you always be? Do you want to be? So life is short, guys. One day we're going to just be sitting around and we're going to all get to an age and all we'll be able to do is look back on what we've done in this world, what changes we made, what things we did to make ourselves proud, what things did we do for our children, for our grandchildren, what did we do? Or did we just survive? Love you guys. Please understand that there is a leader inside of you. There's a person inside of you that is waiting to make a change, waiting for you to make a change, to do more than get on social media, to do more than just talk about it, but to do something about it. Join me every week, every Sunday, guys. You will find me right here. I love you guys. I love spending time with you. I love being able to talk and even when you guys just listen and you don't call in, I pray that I am bringing you something to help you to understand that you are powerful. You are amazing. And you should never settle. Ever settle for anything less. All right, guys, I am out of here. I will see you guys next week. So today's topic on relationship killers. I talked about a lot of relationship killers. Next week, I want to talk about some relationship builders. So be sure to join me next week, guys. I hope that you will tune in next week. And thank you so much. I love you guys. Of course, the numbers are still there, and I have no complaints because I see that you guys are listening. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you. Have a great Sunday night, guys.